Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What do the Dallas Mavericks need to do to advance out of the first round next year and hopefully get to a potential championship? These are the necessary steps, and we want to know which steps you believe the Dallas Mavericks need to take, as their season might be over. We have a very, very brief offseason, so we don't have to wait around very long, as these boys are going to be back at it. November, they'll have camp, and then in December, they'll start the next season. So what exactly do the Mavericks need to do to take that next step? Before we get to that, the Dallas Stars still in the postseason. They had an opportunity last night to wrap up their series with the Avs 4-2, win it in six. They didn't do that. The Stars did get up 1-0, and then the Avs went ahead and scored four unanswered. They tied it up at one with about 30 seconds to go in the first period. They were up 2-1 heading into the third. Then they got up 3-1, which seemingly was the stranglehold. Then they got an empty netter there at the end to win it 4-1. So that sets up a game seven tomorrow night. Time still be determined, but definitely nerve-wracking if you're a Stars fan right now. No question about it. I know our own hockey hot Gavin Spittle was on earlier with the G-Bag Nation. He picked the Avs to win it in seven.
Yeah, it tore him up, though. It tore him up. He was I don't know what to do. It's game seven. Anything can happen. And he's right, especially with the Stars team. You just never know what you're going to get with them.
No, it's true.
You have no idea. They could come out and they're just dropping goals on goals on goals in a matter of seconds. And you blink your eyes and they're up 5-0. Or the same thing can happen where they're down 4-0 and you feel like the game has just started. It's very, very weird.
Now, I do not think that necessarily the sky is falling. I'm optimistic the Stars can do this tomorrow night. But it's certainly, I tweeted out last night after that first period and it was tied at one. Like, I'm not going to have any fingernails after this game. I mean, I'm just sitting there biting my fingernails. Absolutely nerve-wracking. But this is an optimistic tweet here from Dan Rosen of the NHL. He said, how about this first stat? Miro Heiskanen has 19 points in 15 games and counting so far this postseason. Alex Pietrangelo led all defensemen last year with St. Louis in playoff scoring with 19 points in 26 games. So, Miro's done that in 11 less games. John Carlson led all D in playoff scoring in 2018 with 20 points in 24 games. So, that's 1 point ahead of Miro in 9 more games. So, what Miro Heiskanen's been able to do is absolutely brilliant. The disappointing thing, no doubt about it, is Ben Bishop with his injury. The Stars haven't gotten the kind of goaltending that they got last postseason, even though they all of a sudden started scoring goals in bunches in the Calgary series. That moved over to the first 5 games or so of this Colorado series, and then it's faded. The Stars are going to need their big guns tomorrow night. It can't just all be Denis Gurianov and Doby doing what the best he can in between the net. He will be starting for Game 7, but this is going to be crazy tomorrow night. Nothing like a game seven, but I just really wish we weren't at this point having had two games to close it out.
The amount of stress that game sevens put on you, especially when it's your team. Like, I was watching, me and my dad were talking about it last night because we were watching the Houston and OKC game seven. And we were sitting back, we're like, man, we're stressed out right now at the end of this game and we don't even care who wins. And it's like when it's your team in a game seven, it is so amplified. Every possession, every negative thing feels magnified, and they usually it's usually insanity for the entire duration of these games. And so tomorrow is going to be, I don't even know if I can call it fun. Like, it's only fun if you end up winning. It's just stressful for the entire duration of the game unless you find a way to just, you know, skate them right off the rink there.
And even the way this series has been with goals and bunches, as I mentioned, there's no lead that's safe. There's no lead that's safe, and there's no, you know, deficit that you don't think maybe we can overcome here. Because we've seen the Stars were down 3-0 to start a game, and then all of a sudden came back, took the lead, right? So, and vice versa at times this postseason. So you're just never, you're never comfortable. Much like Roger Goodell in the NFL. The Stars can never be comfortable.
Yeah, don't get comfortable.
With Game 7 tomorrow night. And we remember what happened in Game 7 last year. Went to overtime with St. Louis. Now, the last time the Stars and Avs played a Game 7 in the playoffs, it went the Stars' way. Western Conference Finals, Stars won it at Reunion Arena, a game we'll never forget. Hopefully, they can carry that over to Edmonton, no fans, but let's get that Game 7 dub.
469 saying that Game 7 stress is real, but that overtime power play stress.
Jeez. And the Stars didn't have a power play till about 6 minutes to go last night. I'm sitting there with some buddies watching the game.
Hammered.
Absolutely.
We were having NFL football fantasy discussions.
I chimed in very quickly.
You zoomed in for a moment drunkenly with your shirt just completely unbuttoned. The chest hair was flowing. The confidence was rocking. And if you didn't know any better, the Stars were up by like 100.
At that point, it was still just 2-1, thankfully. Yeah. And I was feeling good.
You were feeling like $1 million, man. You looked great.
I don't look as good as you.
Well, let's go ahead and get into this Maverick situation here. 877-881-1053, the things the Mavs need to do to get past the first round of the NBA playoffs. And from the 512, stay put, hopefully Hardaway opts in, finish 4-5 in the West, then go for a max player in the summer of 2021.
There's no doubt Hardaway's not opting in, right? He's absolutely going
to. Right, yeah, he's going to opt in because right now the market's just not there. With the Corona stuff, there's just not many teams that have the financial flexibility, and the two or three that do are just trash teams. And I think Hardaway probably is down to make his $19, $20 million this year alongside Luka, probably go make a nice playoff run with the Mavs and then, you know, raise your stock even more. And then in the summer of 2021, maybe he ends up leaving, and so be it. But I'm with that from the 512. That's sort of been my mindset this whole time. Let's not try to microwave championship this thing. Let's respect the fact that we are ultra young and our future is extremely bright, and let's not mortgage our future in any way to, oh, we got to go win in 2021. It's just not the smart thing to do. I think you'll see this team come back relatively the same, a couple of different role players maybe, if they can make some nice little moves for a veteran guy here, go get a defensive player here, maybe that enforcer-type player there, sure, whatever it may be. If you can get another ball handler type, which maybe you've found in Trey Burke already.
Jalen Brunson will be back.
Jalen Brunson will be back. J.J. Barea is talking about if he's going to be a Maverick, he's going to be a Maverick as a coach, that the Mavericks don't even view him as a player anymore, but he still wants to play. So it doesn't look as though Barea will be back. So there'll be a couple of new faces, but I agree with the 5-1-2 there. I think this is going to be a similar team, and I think that's smart. You have one more year with pretty much this team, and then you have all the flexibility in 2021. And here's the thing that Luka has shown us this season, and especially in the bubble. We don't even really need, especially the landscape of the league right now, you don't even really need that third star, that third max player. Now, the basketball...
Do you think that, and I don't want to like cut your thought off here, but do you think that changes with a healthy Warriors team next year? The West is going to be tougher. There's no doubt.
The West is going to be tougher, but even the Warriors... Unless the draft pick is crazy
and
all this stuff.
And what if they trade it?
For sure. Okay,
you know, what if they call Philadelphia say, hey, you're looking to move a Ben Simmons? I mean, I've brought that up. I think Ben Simmons would be perfect in Golden State.
But even Curry is like getting up there, even if it's just, you know,
for
a couple more years.
We're just talking
Curry
about for a year here.
Yeah.
We're just talking about for next season, right?
For sure, yeah. But I'm talking about even after next season, you get to the summer of 2021, and sure, you'd love a Giannis to come over to you or one of these super stud max type players, and that would be great. Pair them with Luka and KP and then just go dominate the league like the Warriors and the Heat kind of did for a little while, where you're just always in the finals because you just have three super stud players. And that should be the goal. I think that should always be the goal in basketball, It's like, bro, the players matter the most. Who had the best players?
Absolutely.
The coaching doesn't quite matter as much, like the NFL, and football in general.
We saw that against the Clippers.
But, right, yeah, just the better team's going to win. If you have the superstar players, they're probably going to get it figured out, even if it takes the Miami Heat 20 games. Okay, they ended up in four finals. All right, they didn't win all of them, but they were pretty much the best team for a long time. And then the Golden State Warriors, all that stuff. So, sure, that's what you want to do. And the Mavs are in a very weird but fortunate place, a blessed place, where they already have two super studs and they can afford the third one because Luke is still on his rookie deal. So you should definitely capitalize that next summer if you can. But I don't think it's necessarily a necessity. With this being, looks like it being more of a duo league, Luka is plenty good enough, especially if KP can at least stay healthy and give him something. Luka is good enough to, if you surround him with the right players. I mean, you were throwing Trey Burks and Maxi Kleber and Dorian Finney-Smith at him this year, and he's like, yeah, we're the number one offense in the sport.
No, it's true. Ever. I mean, Luka individually, and his sky is the limit, Bobby.
Damn
and
right,
his
Bobby.
Organic growth is going to put this team in the postseason. The question is, how far can they go? You know, if they didn't have to play against the Clippers, you know, I think that they were good enough to have knocked off Utah or Denver, personally, or maybe even in Oklahoma City, depending on. You know, the Clippers were the worst possible option, and they played them pretty tough. I mean, to put it to six games, they did everything we pretty much asked them to do.
It's phenomenal.
They were competitive. They won a game without KP. The question is, though, KP's health. And now that you have a different knee, you know, I wonder just how much you can really afford to play him now in the regular season. Is it half the regular season?
Right.
Is it 70% of the season? Because clearly you're going to want him ready to go for the playoffs. But even that, I think, is easier said than done because you just had a four-month break before you came back. You played eight games in the bubble. Then he played three games or four games in the postseason, and he's out. So even load managing, I don't know, is going to be good enough for KP. I just think this is an injury-prone individual.
I'm with you. There has to be a load management plan moving forward, and I am definitely in the camp of if you can find a way to get some value for him in a trade, which is going to be tough because of his contract, I would be fine with moving off of KP because I think Luka could win with a multitude of different sidekicks. I really do. Luka's greatness is just to that
level.
Would
you straight up trade a KP for like a Bradley Beal?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I would too.
100%. Now, 877-881-1053, plenty of people chiming in, and a lot of people like the 817 noting that the West is only really getting worse. You mentioned the Warriors as a team that wasn't good last year that immediately
They'll
is going
better.
To be one of the favorites.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the West is kind of trending downward. Harden and Westbrook trending downward. Chris Paul trending downward. LeBron, who knows what Anthony Davis might do. If they don't win the title here, maybe Anthony Davis goes to Chicago and he's the guy
maybe
there in his hometown. He's hinted at that already. So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic about this Mavs team here. And a lot of people are in favor of getting somebody with that toughness. Somebody who is cut from that
Marcus Morris
type,
yeah.
You know, dirty,
like
Steven
Adams.
Is he a dirty player? What is he? Is he that Draymond Green 717 enforcer asking me what that means? I think like that's what we're talking about. Somebody who can be the tough guy, who can commit fouls, who can be the Tyson
you
Chandler.
Deshaun Stevenson. Yes, the Tyson Chandler S player.
Like most championship teams have those tough guys. Like yeah, exactly. And so they're not your best player and they don't even have to be a starter, but they're somebody that plays for you and they're tough and they're physical. And they can be the type of guy that Marcus Morris was for the Clippers, where they're just an agitator and they get in your head a little bit, all those different things. So there's plenty more Mavs discussion to get into. I do want to get to this. We won't get to the bologna sandwich right now, but I do want to let people know, as we're about to have Ari Temkin, our Cowboys Radio Network pre- and post-game show host, and he is about to join us to talk to some Cowboys and a little college football, and he's our first guest we've had on since we've decided that, in honor of John Sterling, the play-by-play voice of the Yankees, dropping intercourse in the proper context, which just means dialogue, it means interaction. He dropped it in the Yankees play-by-play, and now we are going to always thank our guests at the end. We're going to thank and appreciate
the intercourse. Having intercourse.
Thank you for the intercourse. So here is the sound, just so you're aware of it. And when you hear us for the rest of time now, say thank you for the intercourse at the end of each conversation with a guest. Don't be surprised.
Well, it's obviously a crazy year for us, in that we have no intercourse at all with the manager or the players.
Huge bummer. Huge bummer. Going to work's just not quite the same. I get
it's
it.
It's never been the same.
But we will mix in a little intercourse with each and every guest. And that first guest will be Ari Temkin.
And exactly, Serge Ibaka from the 817. That's the kind of dude we're talking about. All right, let's talk some Cowboys.
With a hammer.
Oh, man, you should do some Googles.
Alvin
there.
Gentry.
If you haven't seen it, it looks like, man, somebody put a banana there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.